ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். விவேக சூடாமணி, ஸ்லோகா 187. புங்கே விசித்ரா ஸ்வபியோ நிஷுவ்ரஜன் நாயாதி நிர்யாத்யத ஊர்த்வமேஷஹ அஸ்யைவ விஞ்ஞானமயஸ்ய ஜாக்ரத் ஸ்வப்னாத்யவஸ்தாஹ சுக துக்க போகஹ. We saw this shloka in the last webinar. Shankaracharya, he continues with the discussion of Vijnanamaya Koshaha, starting from the 184th shloka. And he has defined as buddhi along with the sense organs and blessed by the Chaitanyam, or consciousness, or Atma. In other words, with borrowed consciousness, we have another name for that, called Chidabhasaha. So, Sabhasa Buddhihi is Vijnanamaya Koshaha. That is how he defined. And then he pointed out that this Vijnanamaya Kosha alone is called the Jiva. And this Jiva alone is Karta and Bhokta. And this jiva alone acquires sanchita and agami karmas. And again, this jiva alone quits the body at the time of death. So the original atma, it cannot travel. And this jiva alone travels and acquires a new body in keeping with the punya papa karmas, vasamsi, jirnani, yadapihaya, all those things we saw. And this jiva alone has got the three states of experiences also. And when it is fully active, it is called the Jagratavastha. And when it is partially active, based on memory alone, that is called Swapnavastha. And when it is passive, then it is called the Sushupti Avastha. So, Jagrat Swapnadi Avastaha Asya Vijnanamaya Koshaha Ekosasya Eva. This is what we saw earlier. So, in Shloka 187, which we saw in the last webinar, and not only the Jiva goes through these avastas, in and through these avastas, the Jiva acquires Sukha Dukha Bhogaha. It goes through pleasures and pain, and up to this, in this 187th shloka we saw. Now we will read the 188th shloka in this today's webinar. Shloka 188. Let us read. Dehadinishta shrama dharma karma gunabhimanam satatam mameti vijnana koshoyamati prakashaha prakrishta sanidhya vashat paratmanaha அதோ பவத்யேஷ உபாதிரஸ்ய யதாத்மதி சம்சரதி ப்ரமேண. So this jiva, it possesses a physical body only temporarily. Physical body is not the intrinsic nature of this jiva. It got this body to fulfill its mission of life. And what is the primary mission of acquiring a body? It is to exhaust the punya and papa. Acquiring fresh punya papa is not an universal process, because in the case of manushya janma alone, human birth alone, exhaustion of karma takes place, as well as the acquisition of fresh punya papa karma also takes place. But exhaustion of punya papa, that is universal. Acquisition is not, but exhaustion is universal for humans, for animals, for plants, for devas also. So the primary mission of the physical body is to exhaust the punya papas. And when the bancha, for example, from that bundle of punya papa is exhausted, the body is like a disposable thing and it is thrown away. We don't throw away, but the Lord throws it away. And then for the next bunch of punya papa karmas, it has to take another body, use it, again it is thrown away. So therefore, this body is only for using and not the intrinsic part of jiva. So body is only used to exhaust the punya papas and thrown away. But what happens? ది జీవా ఇట్ కమిట్స్ ఎ మిస్టేక్ ఆఫ్ ఐడెంటిఫయింగ్ విత్ దిస్ టెంపరరీ ఫిజికల్ బాడీ అండ్ క్లెయిమింగ్ ది ఆట్రిబ్యూట్స్ ఆఫ్ ద బాడీ యాజ్ దాట్ ఆఫ్ ద జీవా టేకింగ్ ద ఆట్రిబ్యూట్స్ ఆఫ్ ద మీడియం అండ్ ఇన్స్ట్రుమెంట్ యాజ్ దోస్ ఆఫ్ ద యూసర్ ఆఫ్ ద మీడియం ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఇఫ్ యూ హ్యావ్ అ షార్ప్ స్క్రూ డ్రైవర్ ఐ కెనాట్ థింక్ దట్ ఐఎమ్ ఆల్సో షార్ప్ సో శంకరాచార్య సేస్ దిస్ జీవా కమిట్స్ దిస్ మిస్టేక్ actually two mistakes are being pointed out by the acharya now this is the first mistake that is successfully committed by the jiva what is that dehaadi nishta ashrama dharma karma guna abhimana that's what he says abhimanaha means identification claiming as my own so the jiva's own what all the features of the body it claims so dehaadi nishta nishta means belonging to So deha, deha is the physical body here. Ashrama means one of the four ashramas belonging to the body. When the jiva says, I am brahmachari, jiva is neither brahmachari, nor grahastha, nor vanaprastha. It is the state of the physical body only. Then dharma, dharma refers to the varna dharma of the body. The brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, the dharmas. So varna ashrama dharma. Then karma. All the activities of the physical body, various movements of the physical body. And finally, gunaha, the body's features like the height of the body, weight of the body, complexion of the body, all those things. So in all of them, the jiva has identification. So guna abhimanaha. And in what way? Mama iti, identification in the form of my features, mamakara, my features. I have the brahmanatvam, I have the brahmacharitvam, I have this agency, that agency. So, sharira dharman jive, jive abhyasati. So, this is called the superimposition of property on the other, one property on the other. So, in English, we have this a transferred epithet, we call it. Then, అహం విజ్ఞానకోశ అతి ప్రకాశ భవతి కంపేర్డ్ టు ద త్రీ కోశాస్ అన్నమయ కోశ ప్రాణమయ కోశ మనోమయ కోశ విజ్ఞానమయ కోశ ఈస్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ బ్రిలియంట్ అతి ప్రకాశ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది మేనిఫెస్టేషన్ ఆఫ్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ మోర్ ఇన్ ది విజ్ఞానమయ కోశ ఇట్ ఈస్ లైక్ వాట్ ఇఫ్ దర్ ఆర్ ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఫైవ్ రిఫ్లెక్టింగ్ మీడియా సమ్ విల్ రిఫ్లెక్ట్ ద రైట్ లైట్ వెరీ బ్రైట్లీ Some will not reflect that brightly. So if there is a mirror, it will reflect very nicely, brightly. And if there is a polished floor or surface, it can reflect our face, but not as bright as the mirror. So in keeping with the nature of matter, which we call as the sukshmata, in keeping with the fineness of gradation of the medium, there is gradation in the reflection also. And Vijnanamaya Kosha is supposed to be subtler than all others and so is brighter than the other three koshas, Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya, the koshas. And so it is Ati Prakashaha. And here Prakashaha literally means what? Bright. But in this context, brightness indicates sentiency, awareness. So it is highly sensitive, highly aware. Compared to the physical body, Vijnanamaya Kosha. So, Ati Prakashaha, Paramaha Prakashaha, I am Vijnanamaya Kosha, Jivaha. And the reason is given in the fourth line, Prakrishta Sannidhya Pashate. Because of its extreme proximity to Atma. It means what? The Vijnanamaya Koshas. Extreme proximity with Paratma. Paratma, the self. And what type of proximity? It is also not a physical proximity. Why not? Because Paramatma being all-pervading, nothing can be closer or farther relatively. For example, if there are two of us here, whom we can call as closer to space or farther to space, since space is all-pervading, every object in creation is uniformly closer or away from space. We cannot say one is closer and another is not, is farther. We should not say Atma is in the center and then Annamaya is the farthest and Pranamaya is a bit closer. Manomaya is a little even more closer and all that. That is possible if Atma is a finite, limited object sitting in the center. We put all the, for example, you know, we put diagrams. In the diagrams, you know, the diagram itself will create problems sometimes. For example, we put pancha koshas, all the five koshas as concentric circles. The Annamaya is the largest circle. And we put a dot in the center indicating the Atma, the Chaitanyam. Like for example, the planets. You know, in the solar system, Pluto is the farthest from the sun and Mercury is the closest to the sun. This is possible because sun happens to be a finite entity. Among the panchakoshas, we cannot say one is closer and another is farther because Atma is all-pervading. But we do use it as an expression. Annamaya is the outer kosha and Anandamaya is the inner kosha. All these are figurative words. We should be very careful. In fact, Vedanta is full of such expressions. They are all only figurative. And when we take the figurative expressions literally, then one can get into problems. And here also there is a word which can create problem. And what is that word? Vijnanamaya kosha has got greater proximity to Atma. Here proximity should be understood as proximity in terms of its subtlety. It is not proximal in terms of distance. Proximity in terms of its subtlety. Atma is subtle and Vijnanamaya's subtlety also is very close to that of Atma and therefore it is able to have reflected consciousness. Whereas physical body is gross and so it cannot be that sentient. Even the sentiency of the body, physical body, cannot be directly borrowed from Atma. It doesn't have the ability to directly borrow from Atma. It has to come through what? Through Vijnanamaya Kosha only. Vijnanamaya Kosha Dwaraha, it has to only come. So all these because of what? Vijnanamaya Kosha is also matter. Annamaya Kosha, body is also matter. But all these differences are there because of what? Their nature. And therefore, because of extreme proximity, prakrishtaha. Prakrishta means extreme. And sannidhyam. Sannidhyam is proximity. Vashat. Vashat means reason. So, because of the reason of extreme proximity to what? Paratmanaha. To Paramatma. Then we have to go to the previous line again. Atiprakashaha. Vijnanamaya kosha is extremely shining. It is also bright. It is also sentient. So, we have got two sentient entities now. What are those entities now? Vijnanamaya kosha, which is now called the Jivatma, it is a sentient entity consisting of what? Buddhi with borrowed consciousness. And this Jivatma is all-pervading or limited. This Jivatma being nothing but Buddhi with borrowed consciousness, that is limited. It is located. Jivatma is located. Not only it is limited and located, there are also plurality. Many Jivatmas are there. Because your Bukti makes one Jivatma, my Buddhi makes another Jivatma. So there are so many Buddhis, so many Jivatmas, as many Jivatmas, as many Buddhis. And this Jivatma is sentient. This is one sentient entity. And what is the other sentient entity? It is the Paramatma. So this Jivatma is a sentient entity and Paramatma is another sentient entity. And what is the uniqueness of its sentiency? The sentiency of the Paramatma is intrinsic. It is not borrowed. And how many such Paramatmas are there? We have to be very careful. There is only one Paramatma. And how does it travel? It cannot travel also. So there are two sentient entities. Jivatma and Paramatma are the Karta Bhokta and the Akarta Abhokta, or we can say as the lower I and the higher I, the lower self with small s and the higher self with capital big S. Both are there. In whom? In every individual. ఆల్ దీస్ వీ హ్యావ్ ఎలాబరేట్లీ అనౌన్స్డ్ అనలైజ్డ్ ఇన్ ది కఠోపనిషత్. ఐ డోంట్ నో హౌ మెనీ ఆఫ్ యూ కేమ్ టు ది కఠోపనిషత్ లెక్చర్స్. ఇఫ్ నాట్, యూ క్యాన్ రెఫర్ టు దోస్ లెక్చర్స్. యాక్చువల్లీ ఇన్ ది ఫస్ట్ పార్ట్ ఇన్ ది థర్డ్ క్యాంటో దెర్ ఇస్ ఎ బ్యూటిఫుల్ శ్లోక. ఋతం పిబంతౌ సుకృతస్య లోకే గుహాం ప్రవిష్టౌ పరమే పరార్ధే ఛాయా తపౌ బ్రహ్మ విదో వదంతి పంచాగ్నయోగే చ త్రినాచికేతాః. వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ శ్లోక, ఇట్స్ గివెన్ దేర్. వీ హ్యావ్ డిస్కస్డ్ ఆల్ దీస్ ఇన్ డీటెయిల్ అట్ దట్ టైమ్. సో దోస్ హు ఆర్ ఇంట్రెస్టెడ్, ప్లీజ్ రెఫర్ టు దోస్ లెక్చర్స్ ఆఫ్ కఠోపనిషత్ ఆన్ ద సైట్. అండ్ ఇన్ ముండక ఉపనిషత్ ఆల్సో వీ హ్యావ్ రెఫర్ టు ది అనదర్ పాపులర్ శ్లోక, ద్వాసుపర్ణ సయుజ సఖాయ. ఇట్స్ అనదర్ బ్యూటిఫుల్. సో దే ఆర్ సో వాట్ దే హ్యావ్ సమానం వృక్షం పరిష స్వజాతే. సో దే ఆర్ ఆల్ కంపేర్డ్ టు టూ బర్డ్స్ అండ్ దట్ ఇస్ ఇన్ ది ముండక ఉపనిషత్. సో దట్ ఇస్ సెట్ హియర్. సో దిస్ జీవ ఈస్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ బ్రిలియంట్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్స్ ప్రాక్సిమిటీ టు పరమాత్మ. ప్రాక్సిమిటీ మీన్స్ సటిలిటీ. అండ్ దర్ ఫోర్ వాట్ హ్యాపన్స్, ఏ టెరిబుల్ థింగ్ హ్యాపన్స్. వాట్ ఈస్ దాట్? బోత్ జీవాత్మ అండ్ పరమాత్మ ఆర్ సెన్షియంట్ అండ్ ఆర్ దేర్ ఫోర్ వెరీ సిమిలర్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ సిమిలర్ ఫీచర్స్ ఆర్ నేచర్. అండ్ వాట్ ఆర్ దో సిమిలారిటీస్ ఆల్సో? బోత్ ఆర్ చేతనం. దట్ ఇస్ వై ద్వా సుపర్ణౌ సయుజౌ సఖాయౌ. దట్స్ వాట్ వాస్ సెట్ దేర్ ఇన్ ముండక ఉపనిషత్. బోత్ ఆర్ సెన్షియంట్. నాట్ ఓన్లీ దట్, బోత్ ఆర్ ఇన్సెపరబుల్ ఆల్సో. వై? బికాస్ వన్ ఇస్ ఆల్ పర్వేడింగ్. సో ది జీవాత్మ క్యాన్ నెవర్ బీ సెపరేటెడ్ ఫ్రమ్ పరమాత్మ. పరమాత్మ ఇస్ ఆల్ పర్వేడింగ్, ఎవరీవేర్ ఇట్ ఇస్ దేర్. ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ వేర్ ఎవర్ ద జీవాత్మ గోస్, జీవాత్మ క్యాన్ ట్రావెల్ వేర్ ఎవర్ ఇట్ గోస్, దర్ ఇస్ ద పరమాత్మ ఆల్సో. సో దిస్ ఇన్సెపరబుల్, ఇంట్రిన్సికలీ యునైటెడ్, హ్యావింగ్ సిమిలర్ నేచర్ అట్రిబ్యూట్స్, దీస్ టూ ఆర్ టుగెదర్. అండ్ వెన్ వీ యూస్ ద వర్డ్ ఐ, వెన్ ఐ సే ఐ అండ్ రెఫర్ టు అవర్ సెల్వ్స్, ఇట్ కంటైన్స్ ఏ మిక్స్చర్ ఆఫ్ బోత్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్. బికాస్ ప్యూర్ పరమాత్మ కెనాట్ యూస్ ద వర్డ్ ఐ ఎనీవే. ప్యూర్ పరమాత్మ కెనాట్ యూస్ అండ్ ప్యూర్ జీవాత్మ డస్ నాట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ వితౌట్ పరమాత్మ. బికాస్ ద వెరీ జీవాత్మ ఇస్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ వాట్? బారోడ్ కాన్షియస్నెస్. అండ్ టు బారో ద కాన్షియస్నెస్ వాట్ డు వీ నీడ్? వీ నీడ్ అ లెండింగ్ పరమాత్మ. అండ్ సో వాట్ ఇస్ ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద వర్డ్ ఐ? ఇట్ ఈస్ ద మిక్స్చర్ ఆఫ్ విచ్ ఇస్ యూసింగ్ ది ఎక్స్ప్రెషన్ అహం. అహం, వెన్ ఐ సే అహం, దర్ఫోర్ ద వర్డ్ అహం కన్సిస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఎ మిక్స్చర్ ఆఫ్ ఐ, ద లోవర్ ఐ అండ్ ది హయర్ ఐ. అహంకార అండ్ సాక్షి, వి కెన్ కాల్ ఇట్ జీవాత్మ అండ్ పరమాత్మ, రిఫ్లెక్టెడ్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ అండ్ ఒరిజినల్ కాన్షియస్నెస్. దిస్ మిక్స్చర్ అలోన్ క్యాన్ యూస్ ద వర్డ్ ఐ. సో ఇట్ కెనాట్ బి ఇండివిజువల్లీ యూస్డ్ బై ఏదర్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్. ఓకే, దెర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ రాంగ్ ఇన్ యూసింగ్ ద వర్డ్ ఐ, బట్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద ప్రాబ్లమ్? వెన్ ఐ యూస్ ద వర్డ్ ఐ, విచ్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ మిక్స్చర్ ఐ షుడ్ క్లెయిమ్ యాజ్ ద రియల్ ఐ? దట్ ఈస్ వేర్ కన్ఫ్యూషన్ అరైసెస్. ద చిదాభాస్, చిదంశ ఆర్ ది చిదాభాస అంశ, ద రిఫ్లెక్టెడ్ కాన్షియస్నెస్. సో ది హయర్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఆర్ ది రిఫ్లెక్టెడ్ కాన్షియస్నెస్, దట్స్ వాట్ వి షుడ్ అండర్స్టాండ్. ఐ షుడ్ బి క్లెయిమింగ్ ఐ యాజ్ ది పర ఆత్మ. బట్ వాట్ మిస్టేక్ డూ ఐ కమిట్? ఐ టేక్ ద లోవర్ ఆత్మ అండ్ ఇట్స్ ఫీచర్స్ యాజ్ మై రియల్ నేచర్. ఐ మిస్టేక్ ద లోవర్ ఐ కాల్డ్ అహంకార, దట్ ఈస్ బుద్ధి మిశ్రిత చిదాభాస ఆర్ చిదాభాస మిశ్రిత బుద్ధి, విచ్ ఎవర్ వే యూ వాంట్ టు కాల్ ఇట్. ద లోవర్ ఐ, ఐ క్లెయిమ్ యాజ్ మై రియల్ నేచర్. దట్ ఈస్ వేర్ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ కమ్. ఈవెన్ దో ది లార్డ్ ఇస్ రెగ్యులర్లీ షోయింగ్ దట్ ద లోవర్ ఐ, ద లొకేటెడ్ ఐ, ఈస్ ఓన్లీ మై ఇన్సిడెంటల్ నేచర్. When does he show that? The Lord shows us every day in sleep. The lower, the located I, Viddhi, Brahmanatvam, Brahmacharitvam, whatever it is, all the terrible karmas, the complexion, height, weight, all those, all these features, they disappear in Sushupti, in deep sleep. You don't own any of them. And I'd continue to remain. So the incidental I should not be claiming as me. And why does this mistake take place? Why do I do that? Because of the similarity of the Paramatma and Jivatma. And what is the similarity? Jivatma, when we say it, is Vijnanamayakosha. And what is the similarity? Both are sentient. And this phenomenon is special. This is called Adhyasaha in Vedanta. We have used this word earlier also, but here we are going to define it and see it a little more. adhyasaha, which means the phenomenon of transference of the attributes of one upon the other because of their proximity and similarity. For example, there are two entities, let us say X and Y, and the attributes of X are transferred to Y. X is the lender of the attributes and Y is the receiver of the attributes, as it were. So the lender is called by a technical name, Upadhi. All these explanations are to explain this term. So the lender is called Upadhi and the receiver onto which the attributes are transferred, that is called Upahitam. Upadhi and Upahitam. So Upadhi's attributes, they appear on Upahitam because of the phenomenon of transference, which happens because of proximity and similarity. And here Shankaracharya says, Vijnanamaya Jiva or Ahankara is serving as the Upadhi, the lender, and Atma serves as the Upahitam, Jiva and Atma. The lower I and higher I are proximate. Which is Upadhi now? The lower I and the higher I is the Upahitam. Both are very proximate and sentient. And therefore, the properties of the lower I means the unreal I or the Vyavaharika I, that is mistaken as the properties of the higher I, the real I, the Paramarthika I. Just like as taking my dream properties as the waker's properties. Suppose, for example, in the dream, I commit a sin. And after waking up, I worry for the sin and try to do all prayaschitta and all that. The sinner is the lower I in the dream, and I transfer the attributes of the dream I upon the real waker I. Similarly, the jiva I is the dreamer. And Dreamer I and the Atma I is the original I. This transference that takes place, and therefore Vijnanamaya gets a technical name now called Upadhi. So Upadhi in this sloka means the Vijnanamaya. This is what is said here. Eshaha Upadhi Bhavati. Eshaha means what? Vijnanamaya Koshaha Jivaha, the lower I, that becomes Upadhi. Upadhi Bhavati. The lender of attributes. Therefore, there is no real transference at all, but it appears. And generally, in the Shastras, they give the example of a crystal ball and a colored object nearby. You imagine a crystal ball, and there is a colored, some red color or blue color, some object lying by that. The crystal ball is clear, like crystal clear. And because of the proximity with the colored object, the color of the object appears in the crystal, and the crystal appears as a colored crystal, even though it's a clear crystal. Now, what is the Upadhi and what is the Upahitam here? The object is Upadhi and the crystal is Upahitam. And from the Upadhi, the colored object, the attribute, the color is transferred to the Upahitam, namely the clear crystal ball. But the most important fact to be remembered is what? The transference is not a real transfer. Not that the crystal has become red, but it appears red. In Vedanta, these are all very, very important concepts. It doesn't become red, it appears red. Similarly, the Vijnanamaya attributes are not really transferred to Atma because Atma is Asangaha. Therefore, the transference is only apparent. That means Atma does not become attributed, but appears to be attributed, to have attributes. And this is called Adhyasika Tadatmyam. Adhyasika Tadatmyam, another technical terminology. In fact, Shankaracharya, he introduces his Brahma Sutra Bhashya with this Adhyasa topic, very, very important topic, which is one of the deepest and the most significant and fundamental topics of Vedanta. The Acharya actually, to just only give a feel for what this, how important is this, the Acharya himself writes a commentary of 1.5 pages nearly of this in his Bhashya regarding this Adhyasa Bhashya, this topic. And the sub-commentator, he writes 10 pages of commentary on that. And the sub-commentator, another person, he writes 50 pages. And another commentator writes 100 pages. And another commentator writes nearly 400 pages and concludes, here concludes the topic on Adhyasa. So that is how important and subtle is this particular concept. All for what? 1.5 pages of commentary by the Acharya. So much analysis is needed, since each one creates new doubts. And for each doubt, an answer has to be given logically, and so on. So this is the outline of Adhyasa. What is that? Apparent transfer of attributes of one to the other. That is called Adhyasa. Therefore, Vijnanamaya becomes the Upadhi for what? For Asya. Asya refers to this Paramatma. For this Paramatma, which is called by what name here? The Upahitam. So Upadhi and Upahitam. So it is not given here in this shloka, the term Upahitam. We have to supply the word. And yet, yet Atmadihi, Atmadihi, and by that identification with that Vijnanamaya alone, which he will explain later actually, that is by claiming myself to be the Vijnanamaya, the lower I suffer. If I choose to claim the higher I as myself, I will be free from all problems. I will be free. When? All the time. I will be ever liberated. Therefore, the waker is free from swapna problems. When? After he wakes up. Even during dream, even when he is committing a heinous crime in the dream, at that time also, the waker is what? The waker. Na punyam, na papam, na saukyam, na dukkham, na mantro, na tirtho, na veda, na yajna. So that person is already that. So the higher I is my real nature all the time. Whether I am in the waking state or in the dream state or in the deep sleep state, all the time. But all the time in the Jagrati and in the Swapna Avastha, I am always claiming the lower I. By claiming Vijnanamaya Kosha as myself. Brahmena Samsarati. This individual who is a mixture of both the lower and the higher I, this Samsarati suffers from Samsara. This person suffers. Caused by what? Brahmena, caused by Brahma. This kind of delusion causes that. It is like an actor playing to role like the role of a beggar, for example, in a movie or in a drama. And later he played the role so very intimately, later he seriously mistakes himself to be a beggar in real life also. Similarly, all our life is a wonderful, wonderful thing so long as I know that they belong to my lower I. But I take it seriously as paramarthikam and suffer. Then it will create all kinds of problems. Shloka 189. Yoyam vijnanamayaha praneshu hritis puratyayam jyotihi kutasthas sannatma kartha bhokta bhavati upadisthaha. Actually, in the previous shloka, the Vijnanamaya Kosha topic is concluded. If you really see, there's no more discussion on that. Shankaracharya has to really enter the next kosha, namely the Anandamaya Kosha. But he makes a diversion here from this shloka, shloka 189 to shloka 205. There is a diversion. And this diversion is for what? Is to explain the technical word Upadhi, which he used in the last shloka. So it's going to be an elaborate discussion on the term Upadhi. As we said before, Upadhi is that which apparently transfers its attributes into some Upahita. That's what it means. Therefore, the topic of Upadhi will not be complete without the topic of Upahita. Even though he used the word Upadhi there, he didn't use the word Upahita at all. But if one has to understand Upadhi, because it involves the process of transfer, we have to, from the Upadhi to Upahitam, we have to talk about Upahitam also. They are interrelated. So he introduces the Upahitam also in this context here. So even though Atma is the Upahitam and should be introduced after Anandamaya Kosha, because that is how the evolution should be. First Annamaya Kosha, Kosha, then Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya, Anandamaya, and finally Atma has to come. So it should be brought only after the Anandamaya Kosha. But here also, as part of the Vijnanamaya Kosha, he discusses Atma because he told that Vijnanamaya Kosha is the Upadhi and Atma is Upahitam. So for this reason, once both are introduced, then he can talk about the confusion in terms of the transference of attributes. Once we know both. So he defines the Upahita Atma in the shloka. What is that? How do you know that there is such a consciousness, the Upahita Atma? What is the proof for that consciousness? We don't see an all-pervading consciousness at all. What is the proof? Shankaracharya says, Shruti Pramanam, the authority of Shruti, Vedas, Shruti Pramanam reveals that consciousness, and so he brings the Shruti Pramana here. He brings the Shruti Pramana from the Veda. He quotes the mantra from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad in the shloka. Swayam Jyoti Brahmanam, there is a section called Swayam Jyoti Brahmanam in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It is a very, very famous Brahmanam. And the first line is paraphrasing the mantra occurring in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Swayam Jyoti Brahmanam. And what it says, Aham Vijnanamayaha, Yoyam Vijnanamayaha. That is what the shloka says, Soyaha. So I am Vijnanamayaha, Aham Vijnanamayaha. We have to be very careful here, because it's a very, very misleading expression. Here the word Vijnanamaya, which occurs in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, that means pure consciousness. In the Brihadaranyaka context, the term Vijnanamaya refers to pure consciousness, Atma Chaitanyam, or the original consciousness, not the Vijnanamaya Kosha, which is discussed here. That is why the Upanishad is confusing. That is why so many commentaries are required. And why we give such a meaning? That logic also comes, but we will not go into the logic here. In the advanced textbooks, they discuss that logic also, why they have to give that name. The Brahma Sutra sub-commentators are all there, where they discuss this logic very analytically. Here, we will just only take Vijnanamaya as is Vijnana Swarupam, the Chaitanya Atma. That's all we will take. And what is the nature of that consciousness? And we discussed this before actually, when we gave the 5 points. Whenever we talked about consciousness, we have given all the 5 points. If you remember, number one, consciousness is not a part, a product, or property of matter, number one. And number two, consciousness pervades and enlivens the material body. And number three, consciousness is not bound by the dimensions or the size of the body. And four, consciousness survives even after the fall of the body. And five, and that surviving consciousness will not be available for transaction for want of medium. The body is gone, body is dead. For want of medium, it won't be available for transaction. That consciousness is called here as Vijnanamaya. And this I am Vijnanamaya Chaitanyam, Praneshu, it is present, that is manifest in every sense organs. Praneshu here refers to all the sense organs. So the brain or the human body that becomes a medium for the manifestation of consciousness. Shastra does not accept consciousness as a product of matter. We don't say that life is something which has evolved out of matter. Like all the Big Bang came and then all were moving and the super particles were all there and they were accidentally joined together. Then the DNA, RNA, all those things got formed and peculiarly an unicellular organism came. Big Bang might be true. The cell arrival might be true. Life arrival, we don't see as the arrival of consciousness. We see arrival as an ideal medium for the manifestation of consciousness. That is the essential difference between Vedanta and the way we understand in science. We don't accept the origin of consciousness, but we accept the manifestation of consciousness. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, Etebhyo Bhutebhyaha Samuttaya Taneva Anuvinashyati. A very, very important mantra which says consciousness manifests along with this body. The consciousness goes back to unmanifest condition along with the body. So manifest, unmanifest. So manifestation and unmanifestation, they take place but not production and destruction. We can never produce or destroy them. We say matter can never produce consciousness. and therefore this consciousness or chaitanyam is praneshu. Praneshu means manifest in the sense organs. That is why it is said shrotrasya shrotram manasaha manasaha chakshusas chakshuhu and vachoha vacham. All those things, they are all those important terms in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. They all talk about that. So praneshu manifests in sense organs. Here prana is understood as sense organs, indriyani. All are from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Shankaracharya, he gives elaborate commentaries on all those various texts. And I am jyotihi. This self-effulgent consciousness, jyotihi, the light of all lights, hridispurati, obtains in the mind of everyone. Here hrid means the mind, not the heart. Hridayam nama antakaranam. It is evident in the antakaranam doing what? Illumining the mind, the thoughts, its emotions, and later through the mind illumining the external world also. So the Atma is the Upahita Chaitanyam. And what is the nature of this Upahita Chaitanyam? Kutastaha san. It is Nirvikaraha, changeless principle. Unlike Vijnanamaya, which is changing a sentient entity. We already saw Vijnanamaya is a changing sentient entity, subject to change and arrival, travel. Whereas Atma is a changeless sentient entity. So, Savikara and Nirvikara Chaitanyam. Savikara Chaitanyam is the Upadhi. And Nirvikara Chaitanyam is the Upahitam. So, when I say I, which one is there actually? Both are there. So, never ask who uses the word I. This is the biggest confusion we all have in Vedanta. It is always the mixture alone that uses the word I. Because, as we said earlier, Paramatma is never separated from Jivatma. And Jivatma never exists without Paramatma. So when I say I, both of them, both the lower I and higher I are there. So if you want to use the seventh chapter language of Bhagavad Gita, the Apara Prakriti and the Para Prakriti. Apara Prakriti is called the empirical I. And the Para Prakriti is the absolute I. So the I is a mixture of the empirical and absolute. And which one is the real I? The Akarta I is the real I. But here alone, I commit a big blunder. What is that? Karta Bhokta Bhavati. So this I, whose real nature is Akarta Abhokta, non-doer, non-enjoyer, now appears as Karta and Bhokta, the doer and enjoyer. Because of what? Dushta Sambandha, bad association. The mob psychology. Actually, this is true with many children, you know, teenage kids. They all are fine kids. But when they are all together, then there is a mob psychology that takes over. The total is not a simple arithmetic addition of the individual traits of each one of them. Similarly, I myself am fine. That is why in sleep, everyone is a Jivan Muktaha. We are all becoming Jivan Mukta every day during sleep. In Swayam Jyoti Brahmanam, in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, sleep is given as an example of moksha. The Upanishad gives sleep as an example of moksha. But what is the problem? When is the problem? Only when I wake up. Otherwise, I am enjoying moksha. Therefore, upadhistaha. Upadhistaha means because of the proximity or association with the lower I or the empirical I, the vyavaharika I, karta bhokta bhavati. So if someone asks me, am I karta or bhokta? There is nothing wrong in saying I am karta and bhokta. It is true empirically, no problem at all. From the standpoint of empiricality, it is true. That is why jnani also accepts his prarabdham from the standpoint of the empirical I. But the jnani's advantage is what? Even when he accepts the prarabdha as empirical I, he is aware of the absolute I, in front of which the empirical I and all its sufferings, they will become insignificant. Even though all problems still continue to be there, he will also have headache, stomachache, all the problems, whatever it is, old age, jara, everything he will also have. But they all become insignificant to him. It is only a change in our perspective the absolute I is the perspective while looking at the empirical I. And that does not mean we should be careless with respect to the empirical I. We cannot be. We want the empirical I to be a dharmic I, to be a healthy empirical I. I follow dharma as empirical I. But when the empirical I has got all these various situations in life, I look at it from the absolute I point of view. Then they do not disturb me. They become insignificant to me in my drishti. Shloka 190. Swayam parichedamupetya buddhehe tadatmya doshena paramrishatmanaha sarvatmakassannapi vikshate swayam swata prithaktvena mrudo ghataniva. So how in real life we mess up the real superior I and the incidental empirical inferior I. How do we prove that the inferior I is incidental or and not intrinsic? How do we prove that? The same logic as we gave in the previous example earlier, in some webinars earlier, I guess, as the heat in water, that is whether it is intrinsic or incidental. If you remove the fire, the heat goes away, whereas the heat in the fire is intrinsic. So the heat in the hot water, that is not intrinsic to that. It is incidental because of the presence of fire. When the fire is removed, it is no more hot water. Whereas the fire itself is hot because it is intrinsically hot. Similarly, in the Jagratavastha and Swapnavastha, the dream state, I experience localization. But in Sushuptiavastha, when buddhi is resolved, I don't experience localization at all. From this, what is clear? In the presence of mind or buddhi, I experience limitation. In Jagratavastha, there is mind. In Swapnavastha, there is mind. So I experience limitation. We have seen these discussions earlier. In the absence of mind, in Sushupti, in deep sleep, I don't experience any finitude at all. Therefore, it is clear that finitude is incidentally caused by the arriving and resolving mind. In the Jagratavastha, Swapnavastha, arriving mind. In Sushupti-avastha, resolving mind. This is how we prove actually. So this logic is called Anvaya Vyatireka logic. We have seen this also earlier. So he says, Swayam Sarvatmakaha. If you take the third line, Swayam Sarvatmakaha. Swayam. Swayam means myself. Really from the standpoint of view of my superior nature, superior I. Who am I? Sarvatmakaha. I am the consciousness which is in all the bodies. I am the superior I, which is not only in my body, which is behind all bodies and minds. As Krishna said actually in the 13th chapter, Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yogaha. Kshetrajna Chapimam Viddhi Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata. Buddhi varies from body to body, just like a filament, light filament varies from bulb to bulb. But electricity is the one and the same principle. Similarly, buddhi is like a filament. The body is like a bulb. Buddhis and bulbs are many, but electricity is only one. Similarly, consciousness is one. Therefore, where am I? The superior one or the inferior I? Sarvatmakaha. Aham sarvasya atma bhavami. I am the superior I in all. And that is why Krishna also said in the Gita, Nityaha Sarvagataha Sthanuhu Achaloyam Sanatanaha. Dehas are many, bodies are many, but Dehi, the Chaitanyam, not only it is Nityaha, but it is Sarvagataha. Therefore, how many superior eyes are there? It is only Ekaha. There is only one. That is what is said here. Swayam Sarvatmakaha. The I is only one behind all the bodies. There may be many bodies, but the I, superior I, is only one. San api, even though this is the fact, what does one do? Buddhehe parichetam swayam upetya. Parichetam swayam upetya. One takes the limitation of the buddhi or the lower I upon oneself, upon the real higher superior intrinsic I. And who has forced this? Shankaracharya says, no one has forced it. We ourselves, we have committed this mistake. Nobody else has forced it on us. Like, for example, the elephant. I don't know whether I gave this example earlier. When it throws mud upon itself, the mahout, you know, he takes the elephant to a river or somewhere and gives an excellent bath. You know, very nicely cleaning the body. It's all shining, the shining black body. And then he brings it out and ties it to a tree and goes for some chai or something like that. And what is the first job the elephant does? It takes the mud and throws it upon itself. Actually, there's a temperature control phenomenon, it looks. But that's a different thing. But the idea here is what? The elephant itself throws mud upon itself. Similarly, we are all what? We are all the superior I. And the guru, what he has done? He has given the wash in the teaching. He has given a nice bath in the teaching. That you don't have the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Shudra, Stri, Puman, Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam, all that thing he tells. Na punyam, na papam, na saukyam, na dukkham. Na mantro, na tirtho, na veda, na yajna. Aham bhojanam naiva bhojyam, na bhokta. Chidananda rupaha shivoham. He tells. All these are taught in the class. And the moment we step out, all those, they come back. So the first job is what? From the inferior I, what are the mud now we have got? Kartrutvam, doership, bhoktrutvam, manushyatvam, pitrutvam, feeling father, putratvam, son, and brahmanatvam, inlatvam, managertvam, all those things, various things. Vishvam pashyati karya karanataya swaswami sambandataha, Dakshinamurti Sotram. Shishya charyataya tadaiva pitruputra atyatmana betataha. Swapne jagradiva yayesha purushaha maya paribhramitaha. That's what Acharya said. So pita, putra, even guru. Guru Sishya, that is also another type of mud only. Because Gurutvam also is finite. So Shankaracharya says, Swayam, every individual, by himself or herself, Upetya. Upetya means takes to the parichedam, the limitation. Limitation is not only physical limitation. There are so many other limitations also. When one gets married, for example, Swamiji gives this example. He gets a husband I status. And then he looks for a father I status. And when the father I status, it does not come. For example, children are not born yet. The sense of paricheda comes. Then children are born. They are all married. And they have not got their children of their own for a few years. So what? What I think? I have got father I status, but I have not got the grandfather I status. When this is going to stop? That is, they cry. They go to so many temples, do so many prayaschittas, this and that. That is sarpa dosha. All that thing they do. So all these are all psychological limitation, physical limitation, intellectual limitation. All these parichedas belong to what? The inferior I. And I throw upon myself. And this superimposed limitation, that is called samsara. The definition of samsara is the superimposed, that confusion. So buddhehe, here it refers to the inferior eye. Buddhi refers to inferior eye. So the ego or ahankara, the vijnanamaya kosha. And what type of buddhi it is? Mrishatmanaha, of inferior reality. Mrishatma means of inferior reality, of lower nature. It has got only vyavaharika satyam, whereas atma has got paramarthika satyam. So from the standpoint of paramarthika satya atma, the vyavaharika satya ahankara is inferior. So mrishatmanaha. All because of what? Tadatmya doshena. Tadatmya doshena. They are all. One has taken up the limitation of buddhi because of tadatmyam. Tadatmyam means identification. Tanmayatvam. Like watching a movie. We gave this example also earlier. The problem of the hero or heroine. They become my problem temporarily. Because of what? Tadatmyam. How do I know that? I am shedding tears. I am crying when they cry. I become emotional. Even though the hero is dying, I become emotional. So the very reaction that indicates Tanmayatvam. If I am objective, there will be no question of reaction at all. therefore tadatmya doshena, otherwise called adhyasaha. Adhyasaha or tadatmya dosha. And again, we have to understand one other important thing also. Why this is called dosha? That is also important. Now, identifying with the characters of the movie, what becomes to us? We become emotional. Even though we become emotional, we still choose to go to the movies. A lot of people, I used to say, you know, you pay money and get bitten by a, stung by a scorpion. When people go on all these various rides in all this, you know, great adventure kind of thing, there is a free fall, you know, something you fall from such a great height. You pay money to get bitten by a scorpion, I used to say that. But of course, that's a thrill. So even though we become emotional, we still choose to go to these movies. And especially if it is a tragic movie, there's some poet, Shelley or something, there's a statement by him. The sweetest songs are those that give us the saddest thoughts, something like that. So now, why do we choose to go to these movies? It is a deliberate identification which I manage to have. And it is an identification which I manage to get out also. I can associate with that. I can also get out of that at the end of the movie. Since I have got a mastery over that identification and it is manageable by me, there is nothing wrong. So I can choose to go. I can enjoy shedding tears also. And I can come out and forget that thing also. So Vedanta says, if you can do the same thing with respect to your inferior I also, wonderful, no problem. You can become an empirical I. You enjoy all the relationships with wife, husband, father, son. You also can shed tears, no harm. But ask the question, are these emotions manageable for me or am I getting carried away by them? The story about Shankara's biography that says, actually we don't know whether it's true or not, because when you take the biography, there are about 28 biographies, it seems, of Adi Shankara. And which many of them, they have contradictions with each other. And right from the date and the place of birth, there are contradictions. But one of the versions is that Shankaracharya cried when his mother died. So people wonder, what is this Shankaracharya, how he can cry? He's the greatest philosopher. He knows he's Atmajnani. How can he cry? Shankara himself says, you know, actually, Brahmaivaham idam jagatcha sakalam chinmatra vistaritam. He himself said, then why would he have cried? If so, is he a liberated person at all or not? Even we say, even if the story is true, let us say he really cried, still he can be happily a Jivan Mukta because it is exactly like what? One voluntarily going to the movie, choosing to cry by identification because of your freedom to identify, enjoy the crying and coming out of the movie happily. Similarly, for a jnani, he can choose to come down to the relative world of I and visualize his childhood days also. And he has written another beautiful shloka called Matru Panchakam. What all the names his mother used to call him when he was a child. He remembers all that. He could enjoy all that motherly love and relationship and happily cry, like in the movie. In fact, the best movies is one that moves you. Best movie is one that moves you emotionally. Then only you feel your money is validated for going to that movie. That is why they make 3D movies also, because it appears more real in three dimensions. Similarly, a Vedantin need not get out of the inferior eye, no need. Need not destroy the human eye. He can enjoy all relationships, fatherhood, motherhood, all that. But what Vedanta says is, I should be able to voluntarily enter into that role and I should be able to get out of that also at my will. And after all that, Shankara would sure have got back to the truth. After all that thing, na mata, na pita, na banduhu, he is very clear about all of them. All these are only incidental aspects of the vyavaharika world, the practical world, relative world. So, tadatmya doshena, because of confused identity. Param means merely. It is mere confusion. There is no other problem. Like some, you know, psychosomatic diseases, you know, people have they're psychosomatic. There is no real problem at all, psychosomatic. So, param. And Actually, param here is an indeclinable verb. So merely because of identification, and thereafter what happens? Vikshate, he looks upon himself and the creation swataha prithaktvena as different from himself. That's what he looks at. Taking the properties of the inferior eye, he sees others as distinct from himself. So the idea is what? If I look at from the inferior eye point of view, whether it is Advaitam or plurality, it will be only plurality. As many buddhis are there, so many egos, so many ahankaras. And from the superior eye standpoint of view, there is no plurality at all. Only Advaitam. It depends on how I look upon myself. To give a simple example, this example also we have seen many times. The wave will see plurality or not will depend on what? It depends on how it looks at itself. It can look at it based on two aspects. One is the water aspect and the other is the Namarupa aspect. From the Namarupa aspect of a wave, it is called a wave. So, from the essential nature, that aspect, it is water. The wave nature is inferior or superior? It is inferior because it is incidental. When we say inferior, we should give the reason. It is incidental. Water is superior because water is intrinsic. The wave can use the word I from the inferior or superior standpoint. Both ways it can use. From the wave standpoint, it will see small waves, big waves, and a big wave surrounded by small, little, and the child waves. All those things it will see. Then it will see the limitation. It can get out of limitation not by doing anything. It doesn't have to do anything to get out of limitation. It has to only shift the lower eye of the wave to the higher eye of water. Then the wave can say, I am the all-pervading water. All waves rise in me, they set in me, and I am the Sarvatmakaha. And even the ocean does not exist separate from me. The wave can proudly say that by merely shifting the identification, which is, of course, the toughest job to do. So he says, Swataha prithaktvena vikshate. One sees the entire creation different from oneself, even though it is not true. Like what? An example is given here. Mridaha ghataniva. Like seeing the pot, ghatam. Pot as different from the clay, which is the real nature. The pot's real nature is clay. Pot is only a namarupa. So that is how the shift in the vision, the shift in the perspective. One can own up either the empirical lower eye or the superior eye consciousness, the atma. By mere shifting of the perspective division. Yo veda dausvara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti linasya parasamaheshwaraha Shri Krishna namaste.